Oh, how about that?
We go, our number three. Oh, yeah. Put the three into the air right now, Basinonians. The Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning, broadcasting high atop the bell tower. That is Arizona Sports 98.7 FM, live from the Auction Community Studios.
Now, I'm a little nervous about what's about to happen right now.
Why is that?
And I'll be point blank. Now, if there's anybody that is very good, I would assume, with all of his sources at keeping secrets, it would be John Clayton.
Of course.
John Clayton is joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. And John Clayton probably does not know the Loverboy story.
Don't tell him.
We have to tell him. And yet, John, you have to understand, when you hear this story, it's only between the three of us. You could never talk about this story. Do you accept your responsibility that we are your source for Loverboy, but you can never repeat this story? Are you clear on that?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
John,
what's the story?
The reason why we played this is because when my brother was in high school, his senior year, right? He used to put on the Jordache jeans, and of course he had the huge neon comb, and I'm talking about Craig, of course, and he had the Keith Partridge feathered hair, and he would play this song as he was getting ready to go out, and I would watch him do it. And Johnny, I could still see the image, and even as a 12-year-old boy, I knew there was something inherently wrong with what he was doing.
I mean, doesn't this sound like that whole series of movies like Top Gun and all that? It's like where you had to ride into the danger zone and all this stuff.
Yes, but here's why this
but
is
never
a secret.
Tell Craig.
This
don't
is what's so funny about it, John. And for those of you who don't know, Craig is a guy that played offensive line for the Pittsburgh Steelers for, what, 11 years?
And 10 years for the Steelers.
I covered
with the Vikings.
I covered him.
Yes.
Yeah, and so John knows him very, very well. And Wolf, he told us that story one day. So we tried to get Craig on to talk to him about it, and Wolf flipped out on us.
Oh, no way.
And said, wait a minute. And he doesn't want Craig to ever find out because he considers it to this day so disrespectful young man to be making fun of his older brother for listening to it. So we have never let Craig know that we play it. And every listener is sworn to secrecy that
that's
if they
right.
ever bump into Craig Wolfley, they cannot tell him that we play Loverboy in his honor and to his disdain at the same time. So you're now sworn to secrecy.
100%.
Good,
yes,
right. Good.
John, your impressions. You were at the Seattle Seahawks game last night, were you not?
I was.
Okay, your impressions overall of what you saw.
Well, I think the big thing is that from the national perspective, just seeing Andrew Luck out there, and it was really weird because, doing the Colts, I do the Colts sidelines or the opposing team sidelines, and so naturally what I wanted to see is what he looked like in the pregame, what he was doing as far as warming up, and it was one of the weirdest experiences because he hardly threw. I mean, what he ended up doing, he had his hands in his hips and all that stuff, and, he was, so I was like, what, was he on a pitch count or what's the deal? Because the only thing that he really threw, they got some right side guys that were running down. I mean, he didn't even take a snap from any kind of a center position or anything like that. So it looked like he was on some kind of a pitch count. But, and I know that what he ended up doing is coming out, having a great touchdown, a field goal drive, and actually had two nice field goal drives, went into the second quarter, completed 6 of 9 for 64 yards. But the big thing is, I mean, he was so jacked up about what he was able to do. I mean, after that second drive, I mean, he was going up and down, talking to the offensive guys, patting them on the back and all that stuff. And I know when he talked in the fourth quarter, I mean, he was just really feeling good about it. Because what he ended up saying is, he said, I honestly had no idea what it was going to be like. And so I know that Frank Reich liked the rhythm that he was able to show. The throws were pretty spot on. But, he was a little tentative, but he looked really good.
Now, as you just heard, John Clayton covers the opposing sideline on all Seahawks radio broadcasts. So he's focused on the other team, but it's not like you're in a vacuum the whole time either. So if you're talking to Cardinals fans, did you see anything from the Seahawks that they should fear? Are the Seahawks dead? Is Russell Wilson awesome? What about the I mean, did you see anything that made you think the Seahawks can still win this division?
I think the Rams still have the big edge, and so, but I still think that you can look at this team as a potential playoff team, maybe a wild card team, and I don't think that's changed. I mean, the big thing that came through last night, I mean, with Brian Schottenheimer and Mike Solari, Schottenheimer the offensive coordinator, Mike Solari the offensive line coach, it's a much better running game, and you can see that now instead of just doing outside zone and pretty much that's all they did last year in the last 2 years, they've come in and they've added so many different things, you know, more things to run downhill. And Chris Carson looks great. Absolutely great. I mean, you're talking about a seventh-round pick that had a fourth-round grade by the Seahawks. I mean, he would have had 1,000 yards had he stayed healthy, but he didn't stay healthy. He broke his ankle last year. So he comes back, and, I mean, he's bigger. He's stronger. All he's done is worked out. I mean, the guy looks like Popeye. Because all you see is like a these massive muscles in his arms, and he's now 228 pounds. He told me last night that when he came off the broken ankle and when he was at the end of the season, it was 213 pounds, and so now he's added I guess literally 13 to 14 pounds of pure muscle, but he's still able to move and do some good things. Rashad Penny, the first round pick, looks really good. And here's the switch as far as strategy. They didn't throw. I mean, they probably threw to the running backs as much as quarterbacks threw to Ron Wolfley during his career last year.
23 receptions in my time. Well, 26, actually.
Well, I think that was more than the screen passes they threw last year to running backs because they just didn't do it. Last night, 13 of the 18 completions went to either tight ends or running backs, and that's going to be the change. And so what they're trying to do, and Brian Schottenheimer is really adamant about doing that, get the balls in the hands of the running backs and make it a little bit easier for Russell Wilson. Wilson came out, had a nice drive, 4 or 5 completions, gets a touchdown to Nick Vinett. The other observation is this looks like a pretty good rookie class because a lot of the rookies really stood out. Penny looked good running the football. Yeah. Will Disley, the tight end, out of UW, he came over and did some good blocking and pass catching. I mean, Rasheem Green, their third-round pick at defensive end and probably one of their thinnest positions, came over, had a sack and a half and some pretty big plays. They really look like they got a pretty good rookie class. The big one was also Trey Flowers. He's a fifth-round pick. He's 6'3", and kind of looks a little bit like Richard Sherman, and he had 31 snaps in the first half. You know, he's real angular and all that stuff, and did a real good job on covering deep. He was beaten several times, I think, on some real short passes that is going to be a problem for every cover one, cover three. But the rookie class looks real good.
Johnny, Cardinal fans want to know if, in fact, that defense is going to take a step back. Do you expect that to happen up there in Seattle?
Yeah, but not as bad as people think, because what happens is people think that, and it's true, they go from 8 Pro Bowlers on defense to 3, and probably 2 if they end up training Earl Thomas. But they went through the last 7 games of the season without 3 of those guys, because Cliff Averill missed 12 games and didn't finish the season, and now he's retired. Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, as you know, got injured in the Arizona Thursday night game, and so they didn't play the last 7 games. So they've got 7 starters back from the group that finished the season. Now, statistically, they were second in the league in yards allowed, but they gave up 23 points a game. So where you think the drop-off is going to be, all of a sudden a normal 18, 19 point a game defense to 26-27. I mean, my read on it is that they've got a lot of speed that they've added this offseason, and so it's probably going to be a defense giving up between 20 and 22 points a game. But if they can get the running game going, which I think they can, they can probably manage to get between 8, 9, or 10 wins.
Our own NFL insider, John Clayton, joining Doug and Wolf. I know I could have asked you this, 6-7 months ago, but I admit, without seeing a game, without seeing clock management, without seeing, how you handle adversity, stuff like that. Every day I'm around Steve Wilks, I buy in a little bit more and a little bit more. I just think the things he says, it just grabs you. From a national perspective, what do you know about Steve Wilks? What are you hearing about Steve Wilks? What have you read about him lately? How do you feel he's adjusting? Or has anybody in the NFL talked to you about him?
Oh, yeah, no, I remember when he got the job, but in fact, this is actually a year ago before he was even under consideration for a head coaching job. Some people thought that they liked what they saw of Sean McDermott when he went from Carolina to Buffalo, and you have to say that was a success because they made the playoffs after like 16 or 17 years. But a lot of people internally in Carolina thought that Wilks was a better coach. And that's not to demise or say anything bad about the, McDermott. It was speaking high on Wilkes. And so I think that even though it's kind of under the radar, I think that what you're seeing is what they saw in Carolina. He's a good coach. I mean, I know that he did some college coaching at UW when he was out here in Seattle. And I think he's pretty much coming in as billed, even though nobody knew what the bill was.
Mm. Johnny, thank you so much for your time, man. We appreciate it. As always, say hello to Pat for us.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Okay, there's John Clayton, our own NFL insider, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to Coulter on Camelback.com, CoulterTempe.com, or CoulterNissan.com for your next new or pre-owned car. One of the biggest questions that face the Arizona Cardinals is their offensive line, and there's one specifically that we're all staring at tomorrow night. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Oh. Are you talking to me, Josh Rosen? Yeah, UCLA. Rhea. Smacked. Preseason game number one. Rhea. Smacked. Going out and managing the offense. Don't throw picks. Don't throw incompletions and manage the offense. Yeah, good.
Your Pantera call-out, at least the beginning, was driven by AutoNation Ford Scottsdale, located off of Frank Lloyd Wright in the 101. I didn't understand a word at the end there.
Yeah, nor did I.
Not shocking.
Just honestly, there's going to be different ways to evaluate Josh Rosen. Wouldn't you say, Paulie?
At least you didn't say respect UCLA. So yes, I have much more respect for you considering you didn't say that. Yes, indeed. We asked Steve Wilkes about that yesterday. And basically, I mean, we're going to look at the stats and we're going to look at the completions and we're going to look at the yards.
Yeah,
and we're
absolutely.
Gonna look at the they're looking at, can he get the team in and out of the huddle?
Yes.
Can he get him to the line of scrimmage?
Yes.
Can he make the calls? Can he get everyone in the right place? Can he call out the pass protect?
That's right, Paul.
All the mechanics of playing quarterback in his first NFL action. Can he do it while remaining calm and cool and collected? You know, can you get the ball in the right places, identify your reads, go through them? There are a lot of the simple things because it's his debut in the NFL. Now, I'm sure he has much higher expectations of himself, but the coach is like, look, you don't know what you don't know yet. Just go out there and try and get the basics done.
Yeah, you know what? I want to see whether or not the ball is going to come out on time, Basinonians, right? 1, 2, 3. By the way, the quick game is back, right? And we've been talking about this for a long time. But the quick game is back, baby, with a vengeance here. The Adam Gase horizontal offense of Mike McCoy. It is back. 1, 2, 3, boom. Will the ball come out? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, boom.
How's that taste, ball... Rams defensive front?
Exactly. Will the ball come out quickly? Will it come out of the hand of Josh Rosen quickly? That's really what I want to see because that tells me he's seeing it and he's making the read and it's boom. He's throwing it with conviction. What I don't want to see is him pulling it down, because a lot of times a quarterback will doubt what it is that he's seeing. Doubt is read.
For me, though, there's a difference. There's the fan in me and the football guy. And I don't know if I have issues of schizophrenia or something, but those are two different people. The fan in me only cares about seeing Josh Rosen tonight or tomorrow night. It's all I just focus on Josh Rosen. The football guy in me could care less about Josh Rosen because do I believe Josh Rosen is playing week one? You know, it's such a simple question. Is Sam Bradford getting hurt or not? And we don't know the answer to that. And I'm sorry that it's in your face, Sam. I'm not trying to be in your face, but that's your career. In your face is, are you going to get hurt or not? So when it's just down to football, I care about one thing, and that's Mason Cole. I care about whether or not Mason Cole is ready because if Sam Bradford stays healthy, we either see a potential – I'm not picking Cardinals in the playoffs. I don't think they go to the playoffs. But as good as he can be, you could be – if the defense is this good, if everything happens properly, maybe we talk about Cardinals in the playoffs. And then, therefore, I'm looking at down the road. If this is about a 7-9 football team, then Josh Rosen probably starts some games in December. Either way, it's all about the O-line. Now, if Sam Bradford gets blown up, okay – we're all over Josh Rosen. But to me, I'm watching Saturday night, and I'm saying, Mason, can you handle it?
You look pretty good. I talked to him yesterday in the cafeteria, asked him how he felt. Say he felt great. You know, again, you know, I'm not going to try to put all the pressure on him. It's going to be, you know, by committee. Those guys got to do a great job of communicating with the starting with the guards all the way out to the tackles and making sure that it put us in the right position from a protection standpoint. So he has a lot of confidence, and he should. And, you know, I'm not going to waver with him being in there. We're going to continue to move forward.
So if you want to be hardcore, here's the stat I want you to look for if you're hardcore. How many times does Justin Pugh point? That's hardcore football.
Right.
How many times is Justin pointing? If there's a Pugh point, that probably is a bad thing because it means Mason Cole needed a Pugh point.
Well, and look.
That's a new phrase, by the way, Pugh point.
We've seen it.
By the way, you're 4 days late on that.
We've seen it in practice. And here's my report on Mason Cole. Here's what some of the guys are saying internally about Mason Cole. They say, nothing really riles this guy up. They're like, all right, Mason, here's the deal today. You got this. Cool. I'm good. Okay. And he just sort of nods.
Yeah.
And he's real cool, calm, and collected. I mean, they always talk about, you know, the NFL's not too big for Josh Rosen. And, hey, Mason Cole, having walked into Michigan and started as a true freshman. So if there's anyone equipped for that, okay. But how can he and what he sees in the preseason, Doug, to your point, he's not going to see in the regular season. Nobody's scheming and game planning in August.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the complex defensive schemes he's going to see in the regular season. So I'm guessing he's probably going to get the Pugh point in September as he's trying to learn all these defensive fronts.
You know, it's going to be interesting as well. There's a couple other rookies that I cannot wait to see. Christian Kirk is one of them. And again, Basinonians, I would say over the last week of the season, and Doug Lees, you've been out there, Paulie, you've seen it as well. I really think he asserted himself. I think there was some progress out of Christian Kirk, right? It wasn't like anyone was bad-mouthing Christian Kirk at all, but I think there was some serious progress that was made this week. Can he take that momentum into tomorrow night's game? That's what I want to know. I'd love to see him get targeted a few times in this game. And when I say a few, I'm talking about three or four times. I don't know how many reps he's going to get out there. I would imagine he's probably going to get anywhere from 15 to 25 somewhere in there. I don't know how much he's going to play, but I would love to see him get targeted at least three times in this game because that tells me he knows what he's doing. He's running the correct route. And by the way, he's getting open.
Just throw him the bubble screen. I want to see him in space. You know, as a very accomplished return man who can make guys miss, just throw him a couple of bubble screens. Let's just see him and throw some blockers out in front of him. Let's see what he can do.
Another thing, and I don't know if this makes sense. Watching, you mentioned how many reps. Isn't there a direct line if we can kind of tell what they're thinking about Christian Kirk based on the number of reps? You know, if he's getting limited reps at the beginning but with the ones, that kind of tells me he's got this thing down, he's doing really well, and they're afraid of him getting hurt because he's going to be considered a very worthwhile piece. If he's getting a flood of reps,
right,
then that's telling me they hope he's going to be an integral piece, but he doesn't really know what he's doing yet, so what better time for him to figure it out than right now and get him out there as much as possible?
The real mystery, though, at receiver is Greg Little. I mean, Christian Kirk is here to stay. Chad Williams is here to stay. You know, Jay Nelson, they know him enough about him. Greg Little, what exactly is this guy all about? Can
That's
he actually
point.
Make plays tomorrow night? That's a real question.
Yeah, it really is. And not only that as well, though, you got to remember, as a coach, you've got to play some games here, some Jedi mind trick games, if you will, from time to time, right? I mean, let's say you throw a rookie out there, and guess what? He does well.
Rookie?
He's been out there 10 reps. He's been out there 12 reps. And all of a sudden, he does well. Get him out of the game. Get him out of the game so he can actually go, hey, I did it. You know what I mean? Like, now all of a sudden, confidence is so critical. Basinonians, you know this. You know this if you're trying to fix your water heater at home because you don't want to pick up the phone and call somebody who's going to charge you $150 just to show up, and now you're trying to fix your water heater, and you're doing a YouTube. Okay, you're YouTubing it, and you're like, tell me how to fix my water heater. And suddenly you do it, and it works, and you go, yeah, I got this. You understand what confidence does for you.
I confidently call Parker.
It's so important. That's why, too, you got to play some mind games here. You got to go, oh, look, kid. Oh, kid, look, you did it. Get him out of the game. Especially if it's a kid that you're trying to bring along slowly, trying to bring him along. To your point, Douglas, you're going to throw him out there, just let him go. Let's just find out what we got out of this kid. There's not a lot of expectation there.
A couple things. Number one, in the 8 o'clock hour, we have yet to give out our name for Madden. So make sure you keep listening in the next 30 minutes because you might have an opportunity to be a winner. We've got two more copies of Madden 19 to give away here on the Doug and Wolf Show. And we keep right on going with Bickley and Murata and Burns and Gambo today all the way through 6 o'clock. Your chance to win a copy of Madden 19. And again, we haven't done it yet in the 8 o'clock hour. And secondly, something you have to know next, the National League Western Division race just got dramatic news that you have to know about. That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Last night, the news that affected the Diamondbacks was the Rockies bullpen. This morning, it's exactly what you might have heard Maloney just say that's affecting the Dodgers bullpen that now has a dramatic effect on the National League Western Division race. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Again, we still haven't done Madden 19, so keep listening, and you've got a chance to hear your name if you've texted the word Madden to 620-620, and you could be a winner. If we don't call your name, don't worry. You'll still have an opportunity to be a winner. And here's the situation, and that is this. Last night, the Rockies bullpen got blown up once again. Starting pitcher Tyler Anderson goes six innings, only gives up a run. Bullpen for the Rockies pitches the last three innings, gives up seven runs. They lose 8-5.
Wow.
Game's tied 5-5. Wade Davis comes in the top of the eighth and gets the last out. Okay, good job. Comes back in the top of the ninth and they go solo homer, single, two-run homer. Wow. Boom, three runs, top of the ninth inning, Dodgers win. So now we're in another tie. So Rockies bullpen blows up and it hurts us this time as Diamondback fans. Now, I want the Dodgers to lose. I want to step on their throat. I want all negative things to happen to the Dodgers.
Yes.
Until we're talking about human beings and injuries and stuff like that.
Amen, Douglas.
And this one is tough for the Dodgers, and I feel terrible for them over this one. And that is Kenley Jansen, their outstanding closer, did not play last night. He called at some point late morning to the trainer yesterday complaining of a little bit of a chest issue, a heart issue, something like that. And he's suffered from it before, so he probably knew a little bit about it.
Mm-hmm.
Went to a Colorado hospital and missed the game, got diagnosed with an irregular heartbeat. He was sent back to Los Angeles. This morning, Buster Olney is the first one to report that, at least the first one that I've seen, I should say, that this irregular heartbeat is going to have him out for a month. So number one, Kenley Jansen, the human being, good luck. Make sure you pull through this. Do whatever the doctors say. Dodgers fans, I'm sorry for you that this happened, but as you now focus in on the baseball aspect, because, bad things happen in a baseball season when we're talking about 6 months.
Yeah.
This is a huge moment for the Diamondbacks, because if you haven't seen their schedule, at Cincinnati, at Texas, four games at San Diego, who is a team that sold off some of the players that used to give the Diamondbacks the biggest problems.
Yes.
So you look at this road trip. You don't normally look at a road trip as time to get something done. But when I look at this trip, and I believe off the top of my head it's a 9-game trip against all teams below 500.
Yeah.
We know the Rangers can rake, but you've got to come away with a winning record on this road trip. And I'd even like to say 6-3, 7-2 is where you go and take advantage, not only because your September schedule is rough, but you've got to rack up as many wins as you can before Jansen comes back.
Yeah, and it all starts with the pitching for the Arizona Diamondbacks, at least in the Wolfley compound. It does, right? In the starting pitching, of course, Clay Buchholz is going to start us off, Robbie Ray, and then Zach Godley. And when you say those three names, what is the one name, Basinoni, that really jumps off? What do you hear when you hear that? You hear Robbie Ray. Of course, that's what it is. Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray right now, just a fascinating study, right? Three starts ago against the Chicago Cubs, he went seven innings, right? Gave up four hits. Only one earned run, as a matter of fact, and only walked one hitter. And then his last outing on July 30th against Texas. Now, Texas, there's no doubt about it. They can rake. There's no doubt. He only gave up two hits, but he walked four hitters. Remember how difficult it was for him. He could not hit the plate. He gave up four earned runs in five and a third innings. Now, all of a sudden, his last outing, once again, an outing where I'll take it all day long, even though he put a small village on the base path. You know, five and a third, seven hits, and gave up four base on balls as well. He's had all sorts of trouble all year long with his control, right? And having command over his pitches. And in particular, I would say even his fastball more than anything else. To me, that's the thing that strikes me. Just watching him with a fastball, it looks like he's overthrowing his fastball and wildly out of the strike zone. But he only gave up two earned runs. I'll take that all day long. When is it going to settle down for Robbie Ray? That's what I want to know. That's what a lot of Diamondback fans want to know. When is it going to settle down for this guy?
I am not overstating this, and I'm going with this because of, put it this way, the Cubs just lost last night, I think, to the Padres, if I'm not mistaken off the top of my head. No, that was a bad series against the Padres that they lost. They had an off day yesterday. But when I look up and down the National League, it's a mess in a positive way, like in a fun way as a fan.
Yeah.
But to your point, Robbie Ray is so important. And when you juxtapose that versus the rest of this National League, which is another term you could use for the National League too, volatile, we're talking about the difference between the Diamondbacks possibly being a World Series team and finishing third in their own division and nowhere near the playoffs. I mean, it's that big of a gap if you look at a 2017 Robbie Ray and what kind of juice that would bring to this team. Because Corbin did something special on his last outing.
Lights out.
Greinke's been special for maybe since mid-April.
Yeah.
Since May, he's been special. So you look at this team and you say, if you give me the best that we've seen of Greinke for such a long time, mostly the best of what we've seen from Corbin, and a 2017 Ray,
man,
I don't care whether you're a Diamondbacks hater or a homer, tell me a team in the National League that you dramatically put better than a Diamondbacks team with those three. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a potential World Series here. Not winning the World Series. There's no way you're getting me to pick against the Red Sox.
Exactly.
But a potential World Series winning team. You tell me Robbie Ray continues to falter, that we get some Patrick Corbin weak innings in the middle of a good outing, and Zach Greinke goes back to being good and not exceptional. Then I'm staring down an offense that struggles at times mightily, and I look at a team and I say, they're not going to the playoffs. I mean, I think it's that big of a fulcrum of what Robbie Ray could do for this team. Now, there's other issues. You know, you got to keep getting the bullpen pieces to find their roles, which they haven't yet.
Mm-hmm.
This offense has got to start hitting the ball with runners in scoring position and quit. It just seems like this offense beats somebody 10-1 one game and then they can't score at all.
Yes.
In the next game. We got to get consistently, put four runs up on the board all the time. Easy to say as a talk show host, not easy to hit a round ball with a round bat squarely, but it's got to happen. And that's how big this is. But every team in the National League has massive flaws, and they're all good enough to get to the World Series.
No doubt about it. By the way, I'm so glad Clay Buchholz is taking the ball to start the series off.
I am too.
He's got that. Oh, he's a dog. Give me the ball. I'm glad he's starting the series for the Diamondbacks.
That game in Cincinnati is on ESPN 620 AM. You can listen to that at 410. But Burns and Gambo will keep you updated throughout the whole game here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. What do we got, Bear? About 3 minutes left? 2 minutes left? Something like that? The opportunity to win Madden 19 is starting to go by the wayside right now for Adam Norman, so keep listening. You might have an opportunity to call in and take Madden 19. Last night, a game that you really want to see is you've got the number one pick in the draft and the number two pick in the draft, and you've got Saquon Barkley for the Giants, first carry, first play of the game. He gets almost a 40-yard run. Baker Mayfield checks in after Tyrod Taylor. One bad series and then quite a few outstanding series for Baker Mayfield. And, of course, that's the talk of the game. Okay, that Barkley and Baker talk of the game.
Yeah, if I could just jump in, the Saquon Barkley run too. It wasn't like there was this huge hole.
No, he ran through it. It was a better than David Johnson jump cut.
It was an unbelievable. He should have been tackled for no gain run.
Yeah, it was.
And
exciting.
Suddenly it was 39 yards.
It was exciting. There's no doubt about it. And if you're a Browns fan, Baker Mayfield was exciting in that game. Yet here's the odd story here. The backstory that you have to laugh at about this game, and I have no idea if it affects the Cardinals or not. I actually hope that it's uninteresting to the Cardinals. I hope they're not doing a thing about this.
I see.
The Browns, supposedly according to reports, wanted Dez Bryant. Wanted to talk to Dez Bryant.
Okay.
Wanted to entice Dez Bryant. Liked the idea of a Dez Bryant with this team, of adding him, because then you would have Landry Jones's name. Sorry about that. An outstanding possession receiver and a great catch guy, and of course, with speed. And then all of a sudden you add Dez Bryant to it to help. They really liked what they would have if they get Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant wasn't even returning their calls. Dez Bryant was completely ignoring them. Suddenly, after watching Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield last night, he tweets out that he's interested in talking to the Browns. So on the one hand, you'd like to see the Browns say, well, no then, and just stick it to them.
Yeah, right.
But if they think he improves their team, then you've got to ignore the fact that he ignored you. But I'm wondering, you now, it's funny, we talk about suitors for different guys.
Sure.
I guess you couldn't include the Browns as a suitor for Dez Bryant because Dez Bryant didn't want to be suited by them. I make that up. Now that he's actually listening, is he off the table? Should a Cardinals fan or executive even care about Dez Bryant being out there as you go into preseason game number one, full well knowing wide receiver number two is a position of concern?
So how so? Yeah, because honestly, I see what you're saying. So you're looking at the Cardinals saying, hey, why don't you call Dez Bryant and kick the tires and see if do you want them to do that?
I don't, but I think it's fair to talk about. Like, if you're sitting in an executive office at the Arizona Cardinals, I think you're doing the wrong thing if you don't talk about it. You got to talk about everybody.
Of course.
But if I'm in the room, I am saying no because I, even though I believe I have leadership in the room, Sam Bradford is still new to the team. I still have a rookie quarterback. David Johnson is still only in his third year. I actually think Justin Pugh is the type of guy that'll square somebody up and say, this is how we're doing things. But I don't think there's with Carson Palmer gone, there's Fitz.
See,
that's the leader in the room. And I kind of look at Dez and I think he's so gone as a guy that's going to be in your face, the diva wide receiver.
I disagree with that. I honestly do. Larry Fitzgerald. I think Larry Fitzgerald is so transcended that I would bring him in. I'd kick the tires on Dez Bryant. I'd find out just how interested he might be of actually coming in and being part of a football team as opposed to being Dez Bryant. That's what I would do.
I will
because
never
Larry
argue
Fitzgerald,
Larry Fitzgerald can't do something.
I can tell you right now, Dez, are you really going to come in here, Dez Bryant? Honestly. Are you really going to come in here and suddenly walk into that locker room where there's Larry Fitzgerald and you're going to start acting crazy? You know what? I would love to see that. I would love to see that. I would love to see whether or not Dez Bryant would actually think of himself so much and so highly that he would come in and be so competitive that he'd fly in the face of Larry Fitzgerald, so to speak.
So you sound like you're doing more than kick the tires.
I would have a serious conversation with him because there's no doubt about it. I think if you brought Dez Bryant in, could he help the Arizona Cardinals in between the white lines? Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about it. As the number two receiver, he could definitely help the Arizona Cardinals without a shadow of a doubt. But what is he going to be like in that locker room? That's what I want to know. What are you going to do to the chemistry of this team? By the way, that's Larry Fitzgerald over there. Maybe you might want to emulate some of the things he does. I would love to see how Dez would do underneath the umbrella, if you will, of Larry Fitzgerald. I would. But the problem is, what does he want to play for?
Right? Obviously.
I mean, he's
obviously
not going to get what it is that he wants.
I'm assuming he's figured that out by now.
Hopefully.
Now, maybe he hasn't. Maybe he's still arguing that he's worth whatever he thought he was worth with Dallas, and he's been a free agent long enough that he should know. The market is saying you are not. Whether it be because of your production or whether it be because of your attitude, they're telling you you're not worth what you think you are. There is the funny element to the story, though, that if the Cardinals wanted him, they could have had him for a long time, and they didn't have to worry about the Browns, and suddenly now, after watching one half of one preseason game, Dez Bryant is saying, oh, maybe I do want to talk to you.
You know, I've always been told about Dez Bryant as well in the past, Basin Onions. I've always been told that he's just hyper-competitive, and he's immature. He's hyper-competitive. He really is. Like, his explosions on the sideline is because he just wants to do. He just wants to go out and perform and produce, and he's hyper-competitive, and yet he's immature at the same time. If that is true, if there's a shred of truth in there, wouldn't you like to see what a little separation from the game would do for him?
Especially
if he was reintroduced with Larry Fitzgerald in the locker room?
I get that, but I so can't handle it because it's only like receivers and a cornerback here or there. I have always hated the line. Well, he's just so ultra competitive. So Justin Pugh isn't because he can control himself. You know, does Sam Bradford not care who wins because he's under control? I mean, go up to Carson Palmer and say, well, he's ultra competitive, but you're not. That's why. I mean, hated that.
And I'm with you on that, Douglas, but there are some guys who are mature, and there are some guys who are immature.
By the way, I don't know about Adam Norman's level of maturity, but he failed us. Adam Norman's 9 minutes are up, and he did not call. So, Maloney, do me a favor. Clear the phone lines. Everybody that's tried to call in early had no right to call in because we didn't give the number yet. You said Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Let's go with caller number 11. Caller number 11 right now, you are going to steal Madden 19.
602-260-9870.
We're giving you a copy of Madden 19 every hour. One grand prize winner is going to also throw in the console of your choice. Every hour through Burns and Gambo show, which ends at 6 o'clock, we're giving away a copy of Madden 19. We say your name. You text Madden to 620-620. You might hear your name. If you hear your name, you got 9 minutes. If you don't hear your name, keep listening. And if that guy fails, you can steal his. And right now, who wants Adams Madden 19. Call in and be caller number 11 and you're a winner. Up next, Nick Ahmed, shortstop, Arizona Diamondbacks, going to call in live from Cincinnati. How come he's raking so well this year? We'll ask him next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.